220!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome to episode 20 of Intentional Grounding. Back in the basement this week. Even got the Christmas lights set up. It's festive. It's the holiday season.
Festive was the word I was going to use.
It's festive.
The holiday spirit in the Hogue's basement.
It's certainly not festive when it comes to the Bears, though. Which the season's pretty much over. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A. HNS, the website's WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. If you haven't already, that's the easiest place to listen, subscribe, review. We appreciate it. And we are on SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/WGNRadioSports. Our producer is Mike Jacobson. And Adam, the news of the day, pretty much expected, I think. Kevin White is done for the year, will not play, his entire rookie season wiped out due to a stress fracture suffered back in the OTAs.
Yeah. The Bears are taking the safer than sorry approach here. I know it was starting to look a little optimistic for a while. I know maybe some of the comments coming out of Hallis Hall, whether it was White himself or Adam Gase or John Fox, may have been a bit misleading. At times, you know, from saying his leg is healed to him looking very good out there, all those things. But Ryan Pace was always going to be in the corner of being very, very cautious with this thing. This is his first ever first-round pick. He's still a valuable piece of the puzzle for him. He's not going to risk anything with him.
This decision seems pretty simple now that the Bears have lost these last two games. It would have been interesting had they won them. I don't know that the end result would have been any different, but you wonder if they would at least kept him on the 53. I don't know, just with the possibility of the playoffs, even if he doesn't play in the regular season, I don't know. But now that it's a done deal, I think the Bears' playoff chances are down to like something like 0.08 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the decision process was him putting him on that 53-man roster just so he could practice.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of value in that. There's no denying that whatsoever. Of course, that will take some roster maneuvering. I mean, they put Antrell Roll on an injured reserve. You know, they said goodbye to Ziggy Hood. You know, they promoted John Timu. So, you know, that those 52, 53-man spots are always going to be, you know, up, down, always, you know, full of change. So it wouldn't have been a surprise to do that, but maybe they just don't see much value in it, knowing, you know, where the season is, I guess.
Well, let's get into some. I find this conversation a little interesting. You mentioned how the Bears may have been a little misleading.
Yep.
John Fox used the word healed last week, talking about Kevin White's leg. I don't know that they did Kevin White any favors.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, White said if he was put out there that he could contribute and help his team.
Well, I think White thinks he could play.
Yeah.
His teammates
have called him explosive.
Well, and we, again, I think I said this last week, maybe the week before, we don't get to see all that much of practice, but the parts where we did and we saw him catching footballs looked pretty darn explosive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could still see him maybe being a little bit tentative with his left leg. Again, he's wearing high socks. You can't really compare, you know, what's going on. He's wearing sweatpants. You can't compare the legs, right? Of course, it's going to be not as strong as the other leg. That's just part of him going through surgery and being it off it for so long and all those things. But from what we saw, there's a lot of abrupt cuts, a lot of fast movements, full speeds, slow speeds, medium speeds, different paces to his movements. It seemed like he's making progress. Bears are happy with his progress. But, yeah, getting back to your original point, a lot of the comments coming out of Hallis Hall seem to be a little bit misleading is the best word to use.
Yeah, I just don't know that kind of it sort of builds the outside pressure up a little bit, doesn't it? When you are talking so optimistically about the guy, I think this fan base had sort of already come to terms with the idea that they weren't going to see him this year. And then all of a sudden things started to change the last few weeks. And I don't know how guilty we are in that, just reporters, because we're just sort of reporting what's being said. And a lot of it was optimistic. And then meanwhile, the Bears are beating the Packers on the road, and you're talking about the playoffs, and all these things kind of sort of came together to kind of get everyone's hopes up again. And then just like that, they're gone. You're not going to see Kevin White, and he's not going to play in a game until the preseason next year.
Yeah. You know, it is quite something, considering, remember earlier, let's go back all the way to when it's nice and sunny outside, even though, the weather right now feels kind of like spring, whatever you want to call it. When we were in Bourbonnais, and I think Kevin White had made an appearance at some downtown event for something he sponsored with, talks optimistically about returning, saying that it's only the coaches holding him back. And then the next day, Ryan Pace comes and kind of just completely changes the narrative, saying he's on injured reserve. Pace did the right thing, in my opinion. He needed to really take control of the message there. But then we had, a similar situation kind of brew up. Again, White's talking optimistically about himself. Everyone's talking optimistically about him. And then here's the announcement that he's back on, the pup list, or will remain on the pup list. So you would think maybe someone would have learned from the situation before, but...
Well, and you talk about the misleading, and it's... You have John Fox one day saying if he's healthy, he's going to play. If he's not, he won't. And then another day he's saying the leg is healed, which may be a technicality that the bone is.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact that he's dealing with some atrophy between the two legs. He got to get them equal. And so that certainly goes into it too. It just seems like while John Fox wasn't saying a whole lot, when he did say something, sometimes it was conflicting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the way I would put it. All right, well, that's it with Kevin White. I mean, we got to put this thing to bed.
I mean, the Bears are going to have like 2 first-round picks next year.
Yeah, you just look at it that way, I guess. Meanwhile, the Bears season is it's done.
Nice touch.
Yeah. I don't think you can say anything other about the last 2 weeks other than that they... underachieved. As much as we've talked about this team overachieving, they played down to the competition the last 2 weeks, in my opinion, and really was a letdown that they deserve some criticism for, actually, for maybe the first time this year.
They're a tease. Let's be honest, that's what they are. I mean, they've created a decent defense. Jay Cutler's playing some of his most efficient football ever. He's not turning the ball over on a weekly basis anymore. They got a young rookie producing in the backfield. You know, there's a lot of things to feel positive about. They beat the Packers on Brett Favre's homecoming night on Thanksgiving, of all days. All these close games, you know, you think they would finish strong, and you get these next 2 games against 2 very beatable opponents. And, I mean, that's what it comes down to. To me, in my opinion, the Bears were a tease this season. The best they could do was 8-8. Sure, they could take a step forward next year. I'm sure they're going to be competitive over these next 3 weeks. But if they had any hopes of making the playoffs, they had to have these 2 games.
Yeah, and now it's all over. And it'll be interesting to see how the season is eventually looked at when it's all over. I know for me, I'm going to be careful about giving them too much credit. I think that while the record right now is the same as it was this time last year, I do think the arrow is pointed up, but I also remember writing that column after year one under Mark Trestman. So you want to be careful about it. I think there's a different coaching staff, and you trust these guys a little bit more. Hindsight's always 20/20. I think people should be optimistic about next season, especially given John Fox's track record with turning around programs.
That year one under Trestman, though, cracks were starting to show already, I think. You know what I mean? It's like they were starting to get blown out. Was the Eagles game was that year, right?
Yes.
I mean, that was a playoff game. And then you
saw they could have won the division.
They had chances to make the playoffs all the way up to the end.
Yeah, and we probably should have At least I should have probably seen that a little bit more. I think everyone got excited about the offense ranking number two that season, and it's just something that the Bears had not done for so long. So I do think it's looking up. Let's talk about this game against Washington Sunday, as we usually do. Kind of go through our weekly awards.
Player of the game.
My top player was Willie Young. I thought he was tremendous throughout the game. He now has 4.5 sacks in his last four games. I think this is an interesting discussion, as I wrote about this yesterday, Adam. Kind of looking at him, because he could play in this scheme. He may not like it. It might not be his preferred defense. But he's shown that he can post numbers and be an effective player in Vic Fangio's defense. So with 1 year left on his contract, which, by the way, if you're going to have 15.5 sacks in a little bit less than two seasons for the money he's making, it's a pretty good bargain, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think he likes it more than you think.
I would think that he probably does now, too, since he's starting to...
producing. Right.
I mean we're kind of... When we talk about him and some of the things he said about being a defensive end, and kind of how weirdly he acted earlier in the year, that was before he started producing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure his mind is probably changing on this a little bit, too.
Probably wasn't feeling right. Yeah. Either, you know, with the Achilles thing. That's, I mean, speaking of getting your legs equal, I mean, he had to do the same thing in a way that Kevin White's going through right now. My player of the game, Jordan Reed. Yeah. I mean, how could destroy the Bears? Absolutely destroyed the boys. His 9 catches, most by any player this year. Shane McClellan struggled against him early. Jonathan Anderson significantly struggled against him. He beat Adrian Amos. He beat Kyle Fuller. He beat everybody.
Yeah.
They had no match for him.
No, they didn't. And it's – look, I was willing to give Shane McClellan the benefit of the doubt, I think, for much of the first half of the season. But he has really struggled the last three games.
3 missed tackles early.
Yeah. They were just – it wasn't just Jordan Reed. It was throughout the game, the Bears were rarely making the first tackle, even against the run. Shane McClellan was not making the first tackle. I remember a specific third and short situation where Christian Jones came up, shot his gap, seemed to do everything right except bring the guy down exactly where he hit him. I think it was Morris. Alfred Morris was able to bounce off him and fall forward towards the first down. So you talk about right there, maybe the difference between this Bears defense being decent, okay, and actually good. I think it's right there. You have a bunch of, like right there, Christian Jones got credit for a tackle. He goes on the stat sheet as a tackle.
Yeah.
But he didn't make the play. He didn't make the play you needed in that moment. So, to me, that's sort of this defense this year in a nutshell.
I know what you're saying. To me, you need to sort of rebuild through the middle. I think on the edges, you may be okay. I think Lamar Houston's coming on. Like you said, Willie Young's coming on. You got Pramell McPhee, of course. But for some of the positive stories we've done about some of the guys in the trenches, Eddie Goldman, you know, who's been pretty darn good. Still working on consistency, but the defensive end spots, you know, Mitch Unrein's been performing pretty well. Will Sutton's been performing pretty well, but you still need your true two-gap pluggers if you can do some of these 3-4 things that you want to do in his defense, in Vic Fangio's defense. Then you need probably another safety to help Adrian Amos out. Obviously, Antrell Roll wasn't much help, you know, as the season kind of went on here.
And meanwhile, there's still problems on offense.
Worst player on the field.
Hronas Gersou struggled again. And at this point, I think you just kind of got to get through the season with this guy. He needs to go through the Bears offseason program for a full offseason. He didn't get that last year. We knew coming in that his weaknesses were really his strength. And they went out and they had Will Montgomery here, and Hronas Gersou was supposed to play behind him this year. That's how it was supposed to be. I still see some promise in his agility, some of the athleticism, the reasons why they drafted him. He just needs to get stronger, really, and learn how to play at the NFL level. So I think you give him another offseason before you really start judging the guy. But for right now, he's a little bit overmatched.
Me, it's got to be, I mentioned him earlier, Jonathan Anderson. And he took a lot of, you know, kudos to him. He deserves a pat in the back for the way he approached the media after the game.
Yep.
He wanted to blame for how bad he played. He actually said he took a step back in his own development. How many times do you hear anybody say that, from a veteran to an undrafted guy like he is. Look, it may be unfair to completely criticize a guy who's an undrafted guy being thrust into a spot like that, but I'm going to go by what he said. He took a step back. You look at the Jordan Reed 32-yard reception down the middle. He got burnt bad. You look at the 5-yard touchdown pass to Jordan Reed. That wasn't Shane McClellan's guy. That was Jonathan Anderson's guy. And he got caught flat-footed staring right at him, and he got, you know, and Jordan Reed ran right by him. So, to me, in terms of, you know, being on the receiving end of bad big plays, it's got to be Jonathan Anderson.
Biggest answer.
Biggest answer from this game, I think, is just that this Bears team hasn't quite learned how to win close games yet. I mean, they've played a ton of them. They've won some of them, but they've lost more now that they've won. I think you kind of look at these close games that have come down to the wire. They're 4-5 in those games now. They've played 9 of them, and at least they're close games. At least they're not getting blown out like they were a year ago, and maybe even earlier this year. But they just don't quite have the playmakers necessary to come up with the big plays in the fourth quarter and go out and win a game.
That's what I was going to hit on. To me, you knew at some point, look, the Bears coaches have done a tremendous job coaching up this group, and the coaching in many ways has made up for some of maybe the talent deficiencies that's on this team. And I think you're starting to show or see some of those deficiencies now when you're getting beat by guys like Jordan Reed and no one can keep up with them. You know, it's just, it's problematic when Blaine Gabbert's running 44 yards down the field and no one can catch him. You know, and stuff like, you know, plays like that. You know, whether it's mental mistakes or just not hanging with these teams, not making the big plays when you need to. They need difference-making players to compete with these other difference-makers, and you just don't have them right now.
Yeah, and I just think that that's something that Bears fans, as optimistic as things got after the win over the Packers in Green Bay, it's just sort of a reality check, I think, the last 2 weeks. And sure, you can look at a ton of games this team probably should have won this year. You know, Minnesota, Detroit, even Denver. That's one of the best teams in the league that they probably should have won. But you can only say that so many times before you just got to be like, well, you know, they're a year away from having the kinds of the kind of talent they need to win those games.
Yep.
Biggest concern.
Well, I think it's somewhat concerning that Pernell McPhee's knee held him out of this last game, and it seemed to progressively get, well, it's sort of been all over the map. It's really been a roller coaster. It got worse. He missed the game in St. Louis, didn't even travel. Then it got better. But really, his playing time, even when he's been out there, has been limited because of the knee. And, you know, I think they got to be really careful with it here in the final 3 weeks. There's really no point in overextending him. And I wouldn't even, certainly wouldn't have a problem if they just put him on IR.
I think they should shut him down.
Yeah.
I don't think he probably wants to. I don't think that's the type of player he is, because I think it's a serious injury, but I don't think it's to the extent where he doesn't think he can play through it. You know, I think he's got a high pain tolerance. I think everybody knows that. And I think he wants to tough it out just because that's the type of character person that he is, type of player he is. But I think in the best interest for him and the team, they probably should rest that knee. And, you know, I was going to agree with you. This is a guy they paid a lot of money to and who is – really been a home run signing in so many ways, whether on the field or off it. You can't risk anything with him.
Right, and he's still 26 years old. You got 4 years left on this 5-year contract. He signed big money. He's quickly become a leader on that defense. I mean, this is a guy that you have to make sure is okay for next year. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that this knee injury is going to be anything that affects him going forward, but you want to make sure that it doesn't turn into some giant issue.
Absolutely. I mean, this Brian Pace's free agent class, you know, I kind of wrote about this for Chicago Football coming up this week. You know, Roll didn't work out. Royal sort of didn't work out.
You think H.L. Roll might just retire?
I mean, all his guaranteed money is up.
Yeah.
He could.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be with the Bears either way.
Depending what they do. Well, I don't think they're addressing free agency. I think they draft another guy. But it's a good point. I mean, Royal, who's dealt with a sprained knee too, you know, pretty disappointing numbers. But then McPhee, you know, was a home run signing. And, you know, some of Ryan Pace's best moves have been the one-year guys. But, you know, you got to make sure McPhee is right. You just have to.
Yeah. No question about it. And, you know, look, when you're an NFL GM, you're not going to hit on every move. You're just not going to, especially in free agency. More times than not, it's really not going to work out.
You can't build through free agency.
No, and so, you know, I don't think the contracts to Antrel Roll, there's no, like you mentioned, there's no guaranteed money left, so that doesn't really hurt you, that deal, even though it didn't really work out. He's going to end up missing 9 games this year, only playing in 7. Eddie Royal, none of this kills you, and there were enough of those one-year deals, like you mentioned, that worked out. Tracy Porter, Jarvis Jenkins.
Zach Miller.
So, yeah, that's sort of a wash for me. And I think overall, you look at his draft class, and there's a couple concerns, but for the most part, it's looking up. So overall, year one is fine there. I just think with Pernell McPhee, he's going to be such a big part of this team going forward. You got to make sure he's okay.
I mean, you're talking about building blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, he is one. You got to make sure he's stable.
All right, let's move on to our favorite segment of the show. What does the Fox say?
Yeah, I don't really look at football players in terms of, like, cars. What the Fox say?
That was in response to Pat Finley's question.
He used the word mileage, right?
Mileage, yeah. Pat Finley was asking about Zach Miller and the somewhat valid idea that even though he has a long injury history, that he missed so much time that he, even though he's going to be 32 next year, he might actually have, you know, lower mileage.
But doesn't, like, all right, so you got this brand new car and you bust it up, right? Doesn't that kind of negate the mileage, you know? You break, you know, your axle falls off or something like that.
But you can fix that as long as, like, the parts within the engine are working.
It's still not the same, you know?
Fair point by John Fox, I guess, that it's not exactly the same as a car. That's fine. Now we move forward. A game that, you know, a couple weeks ago looked like it would mean a lot. This Bears game in Minnesota, NBC, I know for a fact, was considering, or the NFL / NBC, considering flexing the game to Sunday night after what happened last weekend against the 49ers and the Packers getting blown out, or excuse me, the Vikings getting blown out by Seattle. That did not happen. And so now this is just a big game for the Vikings, who I think even could possibly clinch a playoff berth this weekend if certain things play out. But they certainly need a win. They can't be losing to the Bears at home.
I mean, they're not playing well as of late.
Well,
I mean,
you know, you and I actually watched some of that game against the Cardinals together last week.
They hung with them.
I mean, on the road in Arizona, I think that was a
guess it was a rebound from the week before.
They're really beat up on defense right now. Yeah. They have a ton of injuries on defense, and that's really the heart and soul of their team.
You would want more maybe from Teddy Bridgewater, who, again, we saw him the other night, was good against the Cardinals. My one memory from that game is, you know, when they had a chance to tie it. I don't know why I dropped back for the third down pass, but that's, you know, and he fumbled it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of rambling in my thoughts here as we relive the night from the bar where we were watching it. But, yeah, I don't know if they're a great team. They are banged up. I think their quarterback play has been erratic. I think they expect more out of Teddy Bridgewater this year. Now, when I was going over, like, the final 5 games of the year and whether or not the Bears could run the table, I had picked this game as a win. I've completely changed my mind. That's what happens when you lose to the Redskins and you lose to the 49ers the way the Bears did. The Vikings have something to play for. The Redskins had something to play for, and they couldn't keep up. Bold
predictions. I'll let you start. You seem to already be along what you have to say about this game.
This game, just ripping Teddy Bridgewater, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I think Teddy Bridgewater has a passer rating above 120.
Whoa. That is bold.
Now, Kirk Cousins had a good day against them. Blaine Gabbert had a good day against them. Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, Kirk Cousins is probably better than Teddy Bridgewater, right? Would you say so?
Yeah, probably.
Put Kirk Cousins on that team, maybe they're a little bit better. Put Jay Cutler on the Vikings, that team is much better.
Yeah.
But I've been very unimpressed by Teddy Bridgewater, but that's going to change this week because, again, the Vikings have something to play for. It sounds so simple, but I think it means a lot to some of these guys, you know, when you need that extra push, you know, or you want to break that extra tackle like the Redskins did against whoever was trying to tackle them on Sunday. I think that matters in those final seconds, those moments where you really need to get the final extra effort.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit the opposite way. I'm going to say that the Bears intercept Teddy Bridgewater twice. And I think he struggles a little bit and continues to struggle. A couple things have stood out to me the last 2 weeks on Mondays when we've talked to certain players. One was last week, Kyle Long talking about how they've really developed this road warrior mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've won 3 straight on the road, correct? They're 4-2 on the road this year.
I think you're right.
The Bears are. And so I think that sort of helps them bounce back a little bit. And also, Tracy Porter yesterday pretty much admitting that this team has a problem with playing to the level of their competition instead of just playing at an equal level. Now, we know that. We've seen the games. But to have a player just sort of openly come out and admit that, I think is pretty telling. He said, you know, obviously he went to Green Bay, played up to that level, then next 2 weeks came back home, played down to that level. Well, so this week you would think that they're gonna be the underdog again, mm-hmm. a role they seem to relish, going on the road, no one's going to give them a chance, and I think they'll play a little bit better.
Who's going to understand? I mean, I go back to that first game that they played. I mean, Kyle Fuller intercepted him, right?
Yeah.
Again, Terrell had a great chance to intercept him to maybe seal the win. It goes back to the whole playmakers thing. Look, even when Kyle Fuller intercepted Teddy Bridgewater on that play, that was a bad pass by Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I mean, he was atrocious in that game, except until the end where the numbers were kind of skewed when he started throwing it up and, you know, the Vikings are making big plays for him. But I don't know. It's just not consistently there. I mean, Kyle Fuller... I mean, Tracy Porter's been good, breaks up a lot of passes, but maybe Kyle Fuller is still maybe their best playmaker in terms of getting those interceptions.
How about this? Willie Young's playing so well, he's going to bat down a pass and pick it off himself.
If Jared Allen could do it at his age and being a bad fit for this offense,
yeah.
Who is that against again? God, that seems like years ago. Jared Allen was on this team when we started this season, by the way.
That would have been against Arizona? Week 2, I think?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems like eons ago.
Yeah, and he's on an undefeated Carolina team now. I think he got the better end of that.
It's Charles Tillman. Yeah.
All right, and let's pick this game.
Predictions.
I'm still not picking the Bears to win, though.
Even with the 2 interceptions?
No.
Red zone problems?
I just think too many problems have kind of showed up. You know, that whole road warrior mentality, while I do think it'll help the Bears a little bit this week, I think also you're going to be battling the idea that your season's over, too.
Yeah.
And so those will kind of cancel each other out. And even though the 2 picks of Bridgewater and predicting have more to do with Teddy Bridgewater, I think, than the Bears. I don't think that they're going to be able to win this football game, but, you know, the way the season's going, they'll probably...
They're due for, you know, all these people hoping for a high draft pick, you know. Let me promise you, the Bears are going to win maybe 1 or 2 games and put themselves out of the top 10. It's just...
And by the way, the last 2 weeks with their losses, they've gone from number 17 to number 10. So there's your silver lining.
I think they still got an outside shot at number 1.
It's possible. They certainly, if they lose the next 3 games, can jump up pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, you need some other
teams.
And end
up with a really good
pick. You need, like, the Tennessee Titans to, you know, be much better than they are. But, you know, I don't see it happening. But, yeah, I got the Vikings 24-21. The Bears are always going to keep it close. They may even be winning at some point in this game. But they don't. Again, I think those big plays, you know, those impactful plays that these other teams seem to be making against them. Look, the Bears have some, but the other teams are just making more of them, and that's just going to continue this week.
All right, we're a little bit short on time, but I do want to cram in some Twitter questions before we get done. this week. And, you know, one guy we haven't talked about yet is Robbie Gould, who misses a field goal for the second straight week, a big one. And here's a question from Matt on Twitter, who says, would using a draft pick on a kicker be overkill?
Yeah.
yeah, I agree.
Look, the 50-yard miss, 50 yards, was kind of windy. He said it wasn't, but it kind of was. Rainy, he pushed it. Look, the last thing the Bears want to be is this team that goes, you know, after changes kickers year after year after year. Gould's a professional. Yeah, he's going through something here. The changes in front of him, you know, from the long snapper to the holder don't help, but have a little faith in the best kicker in Bears history.
Thomas Gafford got a job today, by the way.
Where?
Signed with the Raiders.
Really?
Yeah, I think Ian Rappaport tweeted out that, I think, let's see, what his wording was, the Raiders have solved their long snapping issues. They've signed Thomas Gafford.
Solved.
The guy the Bears let go.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago.
Sebastian Janikowski. The Raiders kicker.
To answer that question, I think using a draft pick would, yes, be overkill. However, they do right now have 3 6-round picks, I believe, and a 7th-round pick.
So you don't waste it on a kicker.
I wouldn't do it, but if you're going to do it, maybe you do it that late in the draft.
I haven't spent much time looking at the college kickers. I mean, but Robbie Gould wasn't drafted. Adam Vinatieri wasn't drafted.
Right. I mean, you could find a guy. Look, here's what you need to do. You need to bring in legitimate competition in training camp. It's going to put Gould in a tough spot because he's going to be the high-paid guy by far in that competition. Mm-hmm. And he also has a $500,000 roster bonus that kicks in if he makes the team. So you have, if you're the underdog coming in that competition, there's a lot of things on your side right there financially, because you're the cheaper option. So if you come anywhere near performing Robbie Gould, then maybe you give the Bears something to think about. I think you got to have that competition in the summer next year. But I also think you need to be careful about just letting go of Robbie
Gould.
I mean,
here's the thing. Even if that competition is close, you got to kick at Soldier Field. I mean, kicking down in Bourbonnais, you know, or up in Lake Forest is one thing in a couple preseason games, you know. You can look good, you know, for moments. But Robbie Gould has been so consistent at Soldier Field where the wind, the footing, everything could be miserable for a kicker. That can't be underrated in Ryan Pace's mind or anybody's mind who's trying to evaluate where they're going in this kicker situation.
One little note I saw today that Virginia Tech cornerback Kendall Fuller, the younger brother of Kyle Fuller, officially declared for the NFL.
I thought he got hurt.
He is hurt, but he's going to come out. He's going to enter the draft, and he is the little brother of Kyle Fuller. Bears need a corner. It's just something interesting. I'll read this tweet from Nicholas on Twitter. If Kendall ends up on the Bears, when can we start making the Fuller house jokes?
Well, probably immediately, because the Sun-Times put it on the front page. But I don't know. I mean, I still think you gotta try to get better out of Kyle Fuller. Fun story, yeah. It'd be fun. I think everybody wants to play, you know, with their brother. I mean, ask Kyle if he wants to talk about it, or ask, you know, Kyle Long, who would definitely talk about it, you know, having a brother in the NFL.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but after the Bears lost Sunday, all of a sudden the draft questions started to pile up.
Like I said earlier, ease off a little bit. The Bears may win a couple games, and you may be looking at the number 12 pick, and it's not as exciting as the number 6 pick.
This is crazy, though, and we need to wrap up, but it is kind of crazy looking at, with 3 weeks ago, the range that the Bears could still end up in with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, I don't think they are eliminated from the number 1 overall pick. I don't think that's going to happen, but they could move up significantly by losing all 3 games. They could also move back significantly by winning all 3 games. It'll probably end up somewhere in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's such a cluster of teams that are like right around 500 or below this year. It's really weird.
Call it parity or mediocrity, whatever you want to call it.
I think mediocrity is the word. Yeah, I mean, because there's enough teams that are way above.
Right.
You know, there's still a handful of teams that are clearly the best.
Right.
And then you got the NFC East and the AFC South that are just dragging everything down because everyone's still alive in those divisions.
It'd be kind of disappointing for some fans, I bet, if you they run the table, go 8-8, and get what, number 19? That'd be it, around there.
And remember, the draft is in Chicago again. So, you know, a little, another top 10 pick. That was kind of fun last year with Kevin White being in the building. It'd be fun again this year. So, look, but the Bears aren't going to try to lose. There's no question about that. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. John Fox is going to be trying to get these guys going, and we'll see where they end up in the draft order when it's all said and done. We need to get out of here, though. Thanks for listening. Episode 20 of Intentional Grounding. Again, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Find us on iTunes. Search Intentional Grounding and on SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/WGN Radio Sports. Thanks to Mike Jacobson, our producer. We will talk to you all next week.